Welcome to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Talk radio to inspire, inform, and stimulate. Bringing you enlightened discussions with authors, creatives, innovative business, and health professionals, and ordinary people living extraordinary lives. Sharing their expertise and life stories. Making a difference, one word at a time. Now here's your host, Vicki St. Clair.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome on this very gray Seattle day. Boy, this is Seattle with a vengeance today. Eric, what are you going to say on that, Mr. Weatherman?
I was just going to say we can look forward to Wednesday then.
Why? Is it changing on Wednesday?
Yeah, it looks like it's going to be a little bit nicer on Wednesday.
Okay, because we've had all of October's rain over the weekend, I think, the very weekend that I decided to go horse riding.
Wow. I'm sorry about that. But you know what? I actually like this kind of weather this time of year because Halloween is coming up and it's a little bit more conducive to that spirit, I think. A little bit spookier.
I would agree with you on that.
Rolling thunder and lightning yesterday, and that was in the wrath of God rain, you know?
Boy, I missed all the thunder and lightning. Where was I?
I don't know. It lasted pretty briefly, and then it got sunny for a little while. And I was, when I woke up on Sunday, I was like, oh, good. It's miserable. I don't feel bad about not being outside. But then it got really nice, and I'm like, oh, geez, now I got to go outside and do stuff. And then it got really nasty again really quickly. So I was like, all right.
Well, I got so wet horse riding, it looked as though I had dunked in the bath with all my clothes on. And after a certain point, you just think, what the heck? You know, just go with the flow. Just as long as this tree outside the studio doesn't come crashing through, because it was almost bent double a minute ago. Anyway,
we'll be okay.
We have three amazing women joining us today. Each of them is living their dream and in the process helping thousands of others along the way. They're all doing different things and making different impacts, but it's amazing when you look at the people that are helping. We're joined, first of all, by life coach and speaker and author Sally Felton to talk about something that many people find elusive, and that is balance. Does it even exist? Well, we'll find out later. Live Your Dream coach Joyce Chapman will talk about the power of noticing today. It goes beyond being just mindful. And Joyce will join us about 12:30. And Seattle medical doctor and documentary filmmaker Dr. Delaney Reston joins us at the end of the hour. We've talked with Delaney before about her amazing film on mental illness, and she has worked so diligently to get this out to the public at large. It is now being aired on PBS for the next 2 years. And I invited Dr. Delaney Reston back to talk to us about that, what's happening and what's new in her world of practicing as a medical doctor and as a filmmaker on the issues of mental illness. So she'll be joining us toward the end of the show. First, I want to welcome author, speaker and life coach Sally Felton. She she's written a book with Deepak Chopra. Stepping Stones to Success is the name of that book. She's got a new book coming out anytime soon. She's anxiously waiting for that to come out. She's a contributor to GPS for Success. And I'm going to bring Sally on and let her talk to us about her journey as a life coach. And Sally Felton, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Vicki, very much. And I agree with your producer. Storms and clouds and foggy weather does bring the Halloween spirit.
It does. It does.
It does.
Well, it really does. Yeah. I just feel sorry for the little kids when they're out in the rain, you know, like collecting their candy. But it may not even rain on Wednesday. Is it Wednesday, Halloween? I think so.
Halloween is on Sunday.
Oh, it's on Sunday.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so we have ways to go, yeah. But I'm glad you're on the show with us today, Sally. I feel a little discombobulated this morning. I had all this electrical stuff going on that threw me out of balance this morning. So it's kind of appropriate that we're talking about balance. But first of all, tell us a little bit about your background and how you got into coaching. I know you've been doing this for a long time. You're very successful. You've built a great network. How did you get involved in coaching, Sally?
Well, I was first certified as a deep imagery therapist by Stephen Gallegos out of New Mexico. And he basically certifies people in Europe. And I did this about 15 years ago. And I don't think the U.S., the Westerners, were really into the whole chakra system. It wasn't really talked about a great deal. Some people thought this was clearly New Age and what are you talking about? But boy, hasn't it changed? Because hospitals are using deep imagery visualization, just to name a few, mm-hmm. to help patients recover that much more quickly before they go into surgery. It is used a great deal. And I was doing this years and years ago, and my partner said to me, you want something a little more action-oriented, don't you? And I said, yeah, I do. So I was wondering, what could that be? And all of a sudden, she the next day got something across her desk and said, there is a coaching facilitator coming to Boston, and would I be interested in going to hear about this particular program? And I thought, why not? So I went, and it was, if, you know, you talk about energy, somebody hit me in the head and a light bulb went off and said, this is exactly what I want to be doing.
Isn't that amazing?
And it's been full bore the whole time. And I think if somebody doesn't think out of the box, if you get something in the mail that resonates with you, think what your inner gut is saying. If it says, you know what, I might be interested, go and look at it. Check it out.
Yeah, I think
that's
so important.
Don't just say, I don't have the time or the money.
Yeah.
Don't go there. Don't let that inner critic allow itself to be heard.
I think that's really important. I know from my own experiences that sometimes things I've thought I wouldn't enjoy, I've really enjoyed, and vice versa. So I think that being open to trying things is really important. But you've written, been a contributor to this new book, GPS for Success. Tell us a little bit about that book, because I know it's not out yet and you're anxiously waiting for it to come out, hopefully on Halloween. So tell us a little bit about that.
I was telling you before we got on, I said my cauldron is going to be filled with all sorts of herbs that I'm going to be sending down to the publishing company if I don't get this. It's all about living life in balance. Stephen Covey talks about it in a much more organizational fashion, getting all your ducks in order.
So we should say that this book has several chapters in, and each chapter is written by a different contributor, and Stephen Covey is one of those contributors, right?
Yep. And it's published by Insight Publishing, and David Wright has wanted to do this in an interview style. So it's very informal and it's very engaging. And the difference with this book is it doesn't just give you the solutions, but it tells you step by step how to do something. And I think that's very different. Sometimes with all these self-help books, we get, well, here's what to do, but it doesn't take you through the actual steps.
Right.
And it doesn't share other stories where people have gotten stuck and how did they get unstuck. And I think that's the difference here. And when I was asked to contribute, I was very excited about this.
Well, it's a huge thing I think you can learn so much from people who have got stuck and have stumbled and learn from their experiences. And hopefully it helps you get unstuck and stop stumbling, prevent stumbling. But talk a little bit about, let's focus on your chapter here, because you talk about life balance. And because the book isn't out, I haven't actually seen the book, I should say that right now, but I have some notes from the work. And so you talk about life balance being the holy grail, the thing that everybody is searching for. Is there really such a thing as getting life balance? Define it for us and tell us if it's possible.
I think there are various degrees of life balance. Life balance for one person may not be my cup of tea, and it doesn't matter. I just need to be able to put some boundaries, navigate the waters to my particular GPS for life balance. as they say, one shoe doesn't fit everybody.
Yeah.
It just doesn't. And I would be the last one to judge whether some life balance works for one rather than the other. I think this is a journey, Vicki, for many of us to go through. As Euripides always said, there's just one life for each of us, and it's our own.
Mm.
And we need to honor and be responsible for our own life, not the lives of everyone else around us, but we need to be responsible for us and to be accountable for our own life. And how we find life balance, we are the only ones to determine how we want to live our life. How much do we want to be in balance?
I love that, and I totally agree with you, because so many people will tell us you have to spend X amount of time in this area, you know, say family, X amount of time in contribution, X amount of time in work. And this is the way I look at balance. If you feel okay and you're not resenting any area of your life, then I pretty much think you're in balance. At times you're going to be top heavy, maybe top heavy with family commitments, maybe top heavy with work commitments. But I think that's okay. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, you do say there are 12 categories that we need to remember to look at when we're seeking life balance. And I'd like to share those with our listeners when we come back. My guest in this segment is Sally Felton. She's a life coach, author and speaker and contributor to the new book. Much anticipated. It's coming out hopefully the end of this month. It's called GPS for Success. Please stay with us. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair.
Parkinson's disease affects as many as 1 million people in the United States. At the Parkinson's Disease Foundation, it's our mission to beat this disease. To learn about the Parkinson's Disease Foundation, or if you want to help support our work, visit our website, pdf.org, or call us at 800-457-6676. In the Northwest, contact the Northwest Parkinson's Foundation at nwpf.org.
Hi, this is Julie Forbes. Join me on Wednesday afternoons from 2 to 3 p.m. for the Dog Talk Show, an evolved perspective on life with dogs. Listen to discussions on dog-related topics and call in to voice your opinion or ask my opinion about your dog. We will talk about everything from dog behavior to pet food to dog training programs in prisons. The Dog Talk Show, an evolved perspective on life with dogs. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. Tune in Wednesdays from 2 to 3 p.m. on Alternative Talk 1150.
A live expo is coming to Seattle. Wellness learning, health lectures, going green workshops, and kids activities. Alternative Talk 1150 offers you a chance to win a pair of tickets. Listen to Chat with Women, Conversations Live, Half Hour to Health, Mystic Radio, Northwest Legal Compass, and the Dr. Pat Show. And when you hear,
"It's alive!"
That's,
"It's alive!"
Dial 888-298-KKNW. That's 888-298-KKNW. The first caller wins. Complete details at 1150KKNW.com.
You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Talk radio to inspire, inform, and stimulate. Making a difference, one word at a time.
Proud to bring variety to your radio dial. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Welcome back, everyone. We're talking with life coach Sally Felton in this segment. Sally's also a radio host. She has a syndicated show called A Fresh Start with Sally Felton. She's an author, a facilitator, hypnotherapist, and inspirational speaker. And we're talking today about a new book that's coming out the end of this month, we hope. We say we hope because there's a little a little publishing delay, a little hiccup, a little hiccup, as they say in the biz. And the book is called GPS for Success, and it's co-authored. There are several authors who've made contributions to this book: Dr. Stephen Covey, Dr. John Gray, Les Brown, and of course my guest Sally Felton. It's called GPS for Success. goals and proven strategies for success. And Sally, you talk about 12 categories that we all need to remember when we're seeking life balance. And that's what we're talking about in this segment, life balance. Is there such a thing? So what are some of those categories, some of the really key categories that we need to look at when we're looking for life balance?
One, I think one of the biggest is your profession or your job. And the second is family and home, office, learning and growth, your health, your finances. What about your social support, your environment, your fun, your play, your intimacy? And I don't mean sex. I mean your intimacy, your friendship, and spirituality, and your physical. If you were to take each one of those and draw your tree, and each one of those had a branch, how would you rate them? How would you value it? Does one look overburdened? Does one look as if it's going to fall off the tree? If so, how are you going to prune it back?
Well, talk about the tree then, to put that in perspective so we can imagine that falling off the tree.
If you were to take and label each one of those, the left side of the tree should all be about your personal life. Then take the right side of the tree, and that should be your job or profession. So you have branches on the left, branches on the right. Basically, this tree should be in symmetry. If you notice that branches are much larger than the other, what do you need to scale back? For example, you asked me in the break, how do I keep life balance?
Mm-hmm.
For me, the job was tough because I was always asked to do more and more and more and more. And my tree on the right-hand side was getting very top-heavy. So I took my job and I looked at it and said, what is it that I could delegate? What is it that I don't like to do? And what do I need to do to get that off my plate? And this is where being creative thinking needs to happen. You need to think about what is the task that you need to do to get something accomplished. For me, forget it. You do not want me doing the books. You do not.
That's good that you know that.
That's not my strength. No, you don't want me doing the books. So in order for me to find those extra hours to work on something else, I got a bookkeeper. What about updating my website? Yeah, I could do that. Do I like to do it? Not particularly. Is there somebody that I could barter with to do it? You bet. So think out of the box. And by doing that, you are creating extra time for yourself. And that's something I did instead of adding more work to my plate. Again, you're scaling down. What is it you want to bring into your life that you don't have now? Is it time?
Mm-hmm.
Is it more time with family? Do you have much more time with family and you need to increase business? How is that going to balance out? What does that look like? What do you need to be doing? Start making lists. Put together a vision board if you have to. Have your goal in the middle in a great big cloud, and what does that look like to you? How do you get that accomplished? And you have lines in every direction, what it is that you need to do to have that dream, that goal, actually come into fruition.
Right, like mind mapping when you brainstorm.
Absolutely, yep. Mind mapping. Absolutely, yep.
That is such a powerful tool. I've been using that for, 20 plus years. And it just, whenever I find myself, I can't make a decision about moving forward, or I have a big project I need to chunk down, or I'm just trying to weigh pros and cons of something, that mind mapping just helps to get everything out of your head and on paper. And I find personally that I'm often halfway through it and I don't even need to finish because I know exactly what I need to do.
And you said that perfectly. You get it out of your head, Vicki.
Mm.
You get it out of your head. I mean, the stuff that runs 24/7 in our head has got to go somewhere, better on a piece of paper or in your computer.
Yeah.
Get it out of you.
Yeah, I have a great big sketchbook I love, and that's where that or the whiteboard. That's mm-hmm. where all my mind mapping mm-hmm. goes.
Very true. Very true.
You say, you have a quote that you use by John Keynes, and the quote is this, I'm going to read it. The difficulty lies not so much in developing new ideas as it does in escaping from old ones. And this is so true. And you've talked about, you know, we have to get out the box and think differently. Why is it so hard for some people to let go? And why is that such a necessary part of creating our life balance?
We're a creature of habit. And sometimes old habits are hard to break. If people don't want to move forward, they feel much more comfortable with what they know. And knowing what they know what they don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to step outside the box, one needs to take the risks. A lot of people want to know what those risks are and the consequences even before they put the foot out the door. It doesn't work like that. You have to get the gumption, the self-confidence to say, I'm not happy where I am right now. I can choose to be in this, I call it stuckedness, or I could choose to say, I'm going to escape the old habits and I'm going to change.
Yeah.
And just take one very small step. But you have to start where you stand.
Yes. You know, one of my guests a couple of weeks ago, we talked about this. You know, you mentioned the, you know, people want to know what the outcome's going to be or what the risks are. And we always tend to look at those negatively, you know, well, what are the negative risks? And I thought he made a great point when he said, look at, you know, well, what if I'm successful?
Yeah.
What is that going to look like? You know, what if
and
I don't have the problems?
Yeah. For some, there is fear of success.
Right. Right.
They fear the success. So it's easier to say, no, I can't do it, than to face that fear of success and be successful.
Mm-hmm. And you talked earlier about the word no. You personally, Sally, had to learn to say no to all of these work asks, the requests that were being made of you. How did you do that? It's very hard, especially for a lot of women, to say no. They feel they have
sure
to.
Sure is.
They feel.
I had my master's in saying yes. I had my master's in saying yes. So I never said no. And at one point, I thought, you know what? I don't have the energy to do this anymore. And it was that lack of energy of feeling as if I was a spider and every arm that I had, every leg was being pulled. And I thought, this has got to stop. And what I realized was I was modeling behavior to my kids, and did I really want them to say yes to everything? I wanted them to be empowered to know what boundaries were, so I began to say no. And I realized once I said no, I didn't lose the popularity contest. I still was asked to do something else, but what I learned was, wow, you know what? There is always somebody else that can take your place.
Mm-hmm. And pretty quickly, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
and somebody will have to pick up the slack and learn what you did or what you didn't do by your saying no. It's very empowering.
Yes. So that's probably the first place a lot of people need to work on to get life balance, I think, is learning to say that word no. We're almost at the end of our segment, Sally. What would you like to leave our listeners with? What's the one thought you want to leave them with today?
Well, I want to leave them with two things. One, start where you stand and do a task and chunk it out. Do a small amount. And then for your guests, I'd like to offer 15% off, Vicki, on the book that is supposed to be coming out at the end of this month. But I would love to offer them 15% off because of its lateness.
Well, that's wonderful.
I will autograph it ship it to them free of charge.
Well, there's an offer. Now, how can they get hold of this book when it does come out,
They
Sally?
Can get hold of it through my website, www.sallie, Felton, as in F, as in Frank, Elton, lifecoach.com, and it's on my products page. And they can look for GPS for success.
Okay,
and
super.
And it's all there.
Well, there's an offer, 15% off. You get a signed autograph copy and no shipping charges. So
no shipping. I will incur the shipping. It's the least I can do as a thank you.
Well, we appreciate you being with us today, and I wish you all the best with your book when it does come out. And thank you for sharing this information with us today, Sally.
Thank you, Vicki, and you will be one of the first ones to get it.
Thank you. Well, please stay with us. When we come back, we're joined by our resident Live Your Dream coach, Joyce Chapman. And we're going to talk today about the power of noticing. And I've been noticing some things myself lately. So please stay with us. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. We'll be right back.
Does anyone know the way to be a someone sane?
We just haven't got a clue what to do.
If you missed a show on Conversations Live, check out conversationslive.net for dozens of free podcasts. Topics range from health and healing to business and career growth, from personal development to creativity, adventure, and the challenges of the human spirit. See conversationslive.net for talk radio to inspire, inform, and stimulate. conversationslive.net. Making a difference, one word at a time.
Hi, I'm Andrea Kay, America's leading career expert. I know it's going to be a great conversation when Vicki St. Clair asked me to offer my career advice on her show. Vicki asks thoughtful questions, she's thorough, she works hard to bring you great guests who walk their talk with information and solutions that can lift your career and better your life so that you'll live well, live strong. My advice? Tune into our conversations and all the interviews on Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair for thought-provoking insight and tips on the things that really matter in your life. And visit AndreaKay.com, that's Andrea, K-A-Y.com, for information about my books and loads of free practical advice and inspiration for your career.
You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair, talk radio to help you live well, live strong.
Get current weather, traffic, and news. Visit 1150kknw.com and stay informed with Alternative Talk 1150 AM.
Welcome back. I was waiting for the nod there. I was missing the nod for some reason. I wasn't sure if we were coming live then. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair, and my guest in this segment is our Live Your Dream coach, Joyce Chapman. She's joining us this month to discuss the art of noticing, the power of noticing. And Joyce is a lifetime educator and coach. She is a phenomenal empowering woman. Welcome to the show, Joyce Chapman.
Hi, I'm glad to be here to talk about living our dreams.
I know. And we're going to talk today about the power of noticing, but I have to share with our listeners, because I was walking the dog this morning and it was absolutely belting down with rain, and it just went straight through my rain jacket, and I was like, oh, what the heck, I'll just jump in the shower when I get home, no big deal. But it's actually, the other dog walkers I ran into this morning were cursing the weather, but I have to share, it's also raining in San Diego. Where Joyce is.
I just told you that.
I know. That's why I said I have to share that with our listeners. We always tend to think, you know, Southern California has perfect weather, which is not true. But so, Joyce, let's get down to business here, because I know you have a lot to talk about, the power of noticing. And it's, I think, goes beyond what we think of as mindfulness. You go into a deeper level with the power of noticing. But just tell us how you define noticing. You also call it the art of observation, but how do you define noticing?
Very simply, it's just paying attention to your life, to what you want, what you need, what's happening, what you want to be happening, what you don't want to be happening. So it's absolutely inviting yourself to be, you know, the designer and the creator of your life by observing.
Right. Now, one of the things that we were talking a couple of weeks ago, and one of the things you said to me, and I'll share this with our listeners, was what's it going to take? Do I want to share this? Yeah. What's it going to take for you to really free myself up, basically, to create certain other things that I want? Because I think when you enjoy what you do, sometimes there's a challenge there. And it all goes back to the way I look at it is giving up the good for the best. And so after we had talked, I went about noticing a lot of things. And it's not just a case of being mindful and aware. You actually take this a step further because you have you're a big believer in asking questions, 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 questions. So tell us some of the questions that you throw out there when people are in a situation and you want them to go to the next level.
Well, I do love questions, and you know that. And I do. One of the reasons I love questions and use questioning a lot in my work is because it awakens the dreamer, the observer, and the person that, you know, is being asked the question. And I'm asked questions, as you can guess, all the time. One of the questions I was just asked the other day, and I think I laughed when I heard the question and then jumped right in to answer it. But this was the question. I wrote it down. I wanted to find my dream. What should I be noticing? And I went, oh, boy, how fun. And it was like, okay, I start off with noticing what you like to do. What is it that makes your heart sing? Notice when you're happy. Notice when you're sad. So it is once again, paying attention to who is this person that I am.
One of the questions you ask is notice what you feel when you wake up first thing in the morning.
That's so vital.
Yeah, and I think, you know, that's not really something I've paid too much attention to because I'm not really a morning person. I'm okay once I'm up, but I kind of go about in a half state till I've had my morning Java. So what are we looking for there?
What you're looking for there is this the thought I want to wake up with? You know, a lot of people get into victims. A lot of people get into complaining. And I'm a person that just advocates, hey, let's step out of that. Let's step into, what do I want my first thought to be? But often you have to start at, what is my first thought? So that's where that comes from. Like, and if your first thought is, oh my gosh, I don't want to go walk in the rain. Oh my gosh, I have to, you know, get that project finished. And it did shift it to, oh, okay, my first thought today is I get to prepare for the radio show.
Yes, you say this a lot. You don't. So when if I've said to you I have to or I need to, you say no, you get to.
I don't. I have a whole section in my Live Your Dream about from leaving have to get to.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just a shift in consciousness.
Yeah.
And that's what noticing is all about, shifting in consciousness.
Well, I remember interviewing a psychiatrist many moons ago now, but he said the have to's and the shoulds. We know we shouldn't have those in our language, but when we do say, oh, I have to and I should, he said those lead to nothing but depression and anxiety because you're piling all of this have to and shoulds on you and ultimately leaving you to become depressed and anxious. So that's another good reason for leaving those behind.
Absolutely. And, you know, again, and building on what you just said, was get into the action. You know, don't be, you know, letting things just overwhelm you. Get into the action. What do I need to do? What do I want to do? How can I do this? If this is my dream, what steps am I going to have to take?
Mm. There's a little segment in the book that I want to read. I'm talking about the Live Your Dream Work, the Live Your Dream Book, Discover and Live the Life of Your Dreams, and you have a workbook to go along with this. I mean, you have several books out there. But in this, the one guy says, I realized from noticing the way I felt about work that I'd been blind to how deadening my job is. It was something I hadn't wanted to see, but my body had been telling me all along. It was so hard to get up in the morning. I don't want to feel this way for 25 more years. So I know I have to make a change. And I loved this because he knew what he did want. He said, I want to feel warm and human in my work, just as I do when I'm reading bedtime stories to the kids.
That's exactly how it was told to me.
And so if somebody's in that situation, Joyce, what do they need to start noticing? Let's go a bit deeper into what kind of questions they need to be raising.
I think that one of the best questions is like, you know, if I am in charge of my life, what actions do I want to take today? If I want to change my life, what do I need to do to change my life? You know, again, and as you mentioned earlier, living in those questions and then making, you know, noticing a habit because you want to change and grow. I believe that that's what keeps us fully alive and enjoying our life fully, is that by, you know, living in that question, you will get to what it is that you truly want. Mm-hmm. And like this man, you know, he wanted to feel like he did with his kids. And is that possible? I believe it is.
Yeah. Another big question that you ask is notice whether money is a problem or a joy for you. And I'll share a personal story because it happened a gazillion years ago. I always had a very healthy attitude to money. I came from generations of business owners. You know, they were all self-employed. So money, you know, we had a very healthy attitude about money. And I married somebody who he had more of a lack perspective. And for the longest time, I felt guilty about what I made. And it took a while for me to lose that perspective. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So what do we need to be noticing about money?
Well, I think, first of all, it's like define money, the use of money for yourself. You know, notice how I feel about money, you know. That sounds like a simple question, but it's like if I ask somebody that just walked up to me, it's like, tell me, you know, what do you notice about your money? Well, a lot of times people say, I don't have enough of it, you know. Well, what if you had enough of it? See, I shift that right away. What if you have enough of it? What would you do with that money? So that then gets you into that action part. Gets you into the creator rather than, you know, at the effect of lack of money. Mm-hmm. You're going to go into, oh, okay, I want money because of this. Make sense?
Makes sense. Yeah, it does. And I think it is important to have a healthy attitude around it and to notice how we're thinking about it, because that lack of was very prevalent in the family that I talked about earlier that I married into. No longer in that family, but the lack of was a very, they could have had $1 million, you know, a week, and it wouldn't have been enough. There was still a lack of mentality. And it took me a while to just get rid of that, that lack of thing.
Well, so, many wise people have said, you know, money will not bring you happiness. And the truth is I truly believe that. Sure, it's fun to have, and it frees you up to do a lot of things, but it isn't what brings you to that place.
No, and it's okay to make money. And, you know, in our situation, I was the breadwinner. I made more money, and it does cause issues between men and women today, even in today's society, unfortunately. So it's good to make money, especially if you're a woman.
It's fun to make money. I truly love to make money. And I don't know that I make it, but attracted into my life. I like the term to be a money magnet.
There you go. I like that too.
I do too.
Well, we're almost at the end of the segment. So what do you want to leave our listeners with about the power of noticing? Because it is very powerful.
I think the most important thing about noticing is that it puts you in the driver's seat It puts you, as you know, as I said before, the creator of your own reality. And I say to people, notice, because this is your life and it all matters.
It does. Now, you want to give out your website too, please, so we can
sure.
people can follow
very
up.
Easy. Remember my name, JoyceChapman.com.
JoyceChapman.com. And all of your books are listed up there. And
they are.
If anybody's listening today and has a question for Joyce on the power of noticing or on any topic, then, you know, to do with living your dream, if you're stuck or, you know, want a different perspective on things, then please do email Joyce at dreams@JoyceChapman.com. That's dreams@JoyceChapman.com. And we hope to, Joyce hopes to hear from you, right?
I would love to hear from you. And Vicki, we might remind the people that I send out a weekly tip that's called Notice and Journal.
Okay, very good. And they can find that from your website.
They can find that on my website.
Thanks for being with us, Joyce. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll be with Dr. Delaney Reston. Please do stay with us. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair.
Looking for unconditional love, an exercise buddy, or a great listener? Haas has the dog or cat of your dreams, just waiting to meet you. We've made thousands of perfect matches since 1967, because everyone needs a warm, safe place to call home. Find out more today at Haas.org or call 425-787-2500.
Do you have legal questions, need to know where to turn?
Hi, this is Rick Gregrick, your host of Northwest Legal Compass.
Northwest Legal Compass will address your questions on a variety of legal topics, including estate planning, asset protection, real estate and business planning, and more. The legal and accounting staff of Gregrick & Associates are dedicated to providing you with superior legal and tax services. Their integrated counsel is geared to the achievement of your goals.
Visit us on the web at rjglegal.com.
Be sure and tune in every Friday at noon here on Alternative Talk 1150.
Intuitive dream coach Joyce Chapman says there are no little dreams, that every desire is important, and that you deserve life to its fullest. As a dream activist, Joyce has helped thousands of people gain clarity about their lives and make positive changes. She can help you too. See more information at JoyceChapman.com. And if you have a question for Joyce regarding your dream, email Joyce@JoyceChapman.com.
It's alive!
You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Talk radio to brighten your day.
Talk radio with a difference. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Welcome back, everyone. And my guest in the last segment today is Dr. Delaney Reston. Delaney has been a guest on the show before. She's a medical doctor here in the Seattle area. She's also an incredible storyteller, and she's using that storytelling power in the medium of film. So I'm going to bring her on. We're going to talk a little bit about what she's doing now and where things are heading. Delaney Reston, welcome.
Thank you so much. Great to be here.
So you came on to talk about your film Unlisted a while ago, but we actually aired it again over Labor Day, and I was surprised by how many people responded to that. Well, maybe I wasn't surprised because it's a great film, but it really is an incredible film. So tell us, for those who did not hear that show, just a little bit about the film and why you made that film, Delaney.
Oh, sure. Well, Unlisted, A Story of Schizophrenia, tells the story of my hiding from my father for 10 years, and then I go to reconnect with him and bring a camera. And what's really the heart of the film is that while he was so much off of treatment when I was younger that we couldn't have a relationship, that now when I go to see him and he's in supportive housing and getting treatment, we're able to have a really great new relationship. And that's the focus. The reason that I made this film, though, as a filmmaker, is I had never seen what I had seen as a doctor, which is that untreated severe mental illness really tears families apart. And the films that have been made are by a family member who is connected, or the person themselves,
But yet this whole, all the reasons of why families are being torn apart and don't need to be torn apart, I felt really had to come to the table.
Yeah. The storytelling in this film, I mean, I said last time we talked, and it is exquisite because it really tugs at your heartstrings and makes you see things in a whole different way. I know it was a very emotional, intense journey for you. You're still on that journey because tell us what's happening with the film now.
Yeah, I mean, it was. The hardest part of making the film was really knowing my emotions that I had really closed off for so long and had my rationalizations and had to come to terms with guilt, with shame, and bring those out in the open. But what's happened, so that's where I really was when I talked to you a long time ago,
mm-hmm.
but I knew that these stories were out there. I wasn't alone. And how could the film help others to share their stories so that we could really start to educate our local communities and each other and get support for each other and start to decrease the stigma? So I was able to show the film at national conventions of wonderful mental health organizations like NAMI and Mental Health America, and then partner with them. So what's really exciting is that these individuals then, in their affiliate groups, have been doing screenings all over the country and getting radio press, getting policymakers there. Already this month, there are at least 30 that I know of, and I often Skype in and do the Q&A or be a part of the panel. And that's been really exciting. The film just started on PBS nationwide this fall, October 1st, and we're almost up to 1,000 different air dates. So really to get to get the story to the general audience was really my goal, because so many people aren't seeing these stories being told. In fact, it's been 5 years since another personal story like this has been on PBS. So we don't get them that often.
How hard was it for you to get that on PBS? Because I know it's not easy. A lot of people want to get on there.
Exactly. I mean, you are competing. One is competing with a lot of high budget documentaries, and our taste for documentaries are very much, we want a lot in the film. But I think that there's people who really appreciate a personal documentary, and that has made it really become successful in that venue.
Mm. Now, I know that you wanted to get this story out to try and make a difference, not just to the families who are dealing with this and become fractured through mental illness. But you said in the film, and that is discussed in the film and takes you through that journey, that you felt the system let you and your father down on different levels. Are you seeing any change yet?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a really good point. I mean, there are definitely obstacles for families, whether it's confidentiality issues or criteria to hospitalization that can be very tricky, or even getting clinical information when you need it. And so there's a lot of obstacles. But what I think is really exciting is that this new mental health movement, and I can give you some examples. A lot of people are trying to do exactly what I'm a part of now, is getting people to share their stories.
Mm-hmm.
So just a year ago, Glenn Close launched a campaign called Bring Change to Mind. And it's a wonderful activities of commercials and billboards and a wonderful website with lots of resources and people sharing their stories. Patrick Kennedy is launching a new campaign, and Rosalind Carter has a new book out, and the WHO is a part of a new global mental health movement, which just showed Unlisted, the film, at their World Mental Health Day just a couple of weeks ago. So it's starting on the global circuit as well.
So if somebody has a family member who, you know, in your case, your father, you were estranged from him, but then he came off his meds at some point. What advice would you give to somebody going through that, Delaney?
Well, first and foremost, I think we're lucky in this country to have something, for example, NAMI, that has 800 family-to-family support groups and classes. So it's a class that's 12 weeks long. And what I think is so important is getting people who in groups where other people have gone through similar situations, because we know the tricks, we know the pain, we know the hope. and we're there for each other. The other thing that I've done a film on are psychiatric advance directives. So when a person is doing well, to write down with them what things they want and don't want and who should be contacted in an emergency. And my website, unlistedfilm.com, has information about that short film and about advance directives, and also lots of resources to links to these groups that I'm talking about that can give a wealth of information and support.
Right. I took a look at that, and you really do have some great information up there. If people want to do their own screenings, for example, you've got discussion guides, you've mm-hmm. got all kinds of stuff up there. If somebody did want to give a screening on this, how does that work?
Well, they should definitely contact me once I've partnered with a group. And either way, if someone's going to do a screening, I basically make the film very available to them. And then, like you said, the screening toolkit has, it's just neat that what you can create on the internet in terms of posters that are customizable, press kits and press release that is customizable. So just going to contacting me at Delaney@mydocproductions.com and letting me know you want to do a screening, I join on completely, and I love to volunteer to do the Q&A via Skype or even attend when I can, particularly in Seattle. We just did a screening with a great supportive housing and all sorts of services, Navos, we did just a few days ago at the Big Picture in Seattle.
Wow. Awesome.
Yeah, and, you know, had people from McDermott's office, and, you know, a lot of policy people are very much interested and care about these. And so the solvability, the optimism, it's all very much there. And I would really encourage people to you know, contact me, contact Bring Change to Mind, NAMI. There's all these places where you can share your stories, and it's a dialogue that really needs to happen. Part of it is we don't have that opportunity so much in the past, so we didn't know how common these things are.
Mm-hmm.
But we're talking, you know, 1 in 100 people have schizophrenia, 2 in 100 severe bipolar, a lot of depression. I mean, we're getting up to, you know, 5% of the general population, not to mention all the family members and all those touched by that people. So that's where we really need to have these open dialogues.
Yeah, and you are doing an amazing job, an amazing film work to get this dialogue going. But, you know, apart from being a filmmaker, you're a doctor, you're a wife, you're a mother, you're a daughter. How has this changed your life?
Well, I think there's a lot of give and take, but one thing I've this fall, with all that's happening, I've only seen patients a few days in this month of October. I work in the underserved communities, and every day, though, that I do get to go into clinic, I love it, and it's where my heart just stays so open, and I focus so much on the individual and ask about what they did in high school or all these things that you just know day-to-day they're not having that connection. And that's something that I'm really working on with my next feature documentary called Where in the World is Mental Health, where I was able to film in France, China, U.S., and India. And I weave my story with my father as a way to ask the question, how are we including and excluding people with severe mental illness in our communities? And how can that be changed? And the thing that was common in all of these countries was that people really didn't have a meaningful thing to do during the day. And I see that all the time in my practice. And that's what opens my heart to continue wanting to use film to make a difference.
Well, that's awesome. And I look forward to seeing that next film. And again, your website, check me if I'm wrong, but it's unlistedfilm.com, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Unlistedfilm.com. And thank you, Delaney Rustin, for being with us today.
Yes. And the film will air on KCTS in, I believe it's going to be end of January. We don't have the exact date, but just joining my email list, I would let people know.
Okay. Sounds good. Thank you. And the website, again, unlistedfilm.com. And I want to thank each of you for being with us today. We'll be back next week. You can reach me if you've got any feedback or questions on today's show at 800-495-7617. That's 800-495-7617. Or you can email me at info@conversationslive.com. livestrong.net. We'll be back next week, as I said before. Until then, live well, live strong. Thanks for being with us.